What does the Bible teach us about worshiping Jesus at Christmas time? That's what I want us to talk about this morning and consider. Sometimes people go to a church service at Christmas time and Easter, and that's the only time they come out. I prepared this in case we had some people here that didn't understand about Christmas, but I think it's good for all of us to go through so we understand what the Bible teaches about this subject. It's good to see everyone out. We had a good Bible study this morning. We had good singing, lifting our voices in praise unto God. And let's get into His Word now and consider some things about this subject. Let's turn and start to see what the Bible teaches in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start off this sermon reading several different passages, and then we'll look at some things going on around town and make some applications. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. We'll look at the record here. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and let us see that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen them, they made widely known the saying which was told them according to this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This is a very interesting account, but it doesn't address how we are to worship Jesus at this time. You know, you see places around anywhere you travel with a scene like this out in front of their building. And I wonder, I think a lot of people, first, it doesn't say that we are to do this. And I wonder if a lot of people don't understand the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. This Christ lived under the Old Covenant. If you want to talk about His birth and the things that were done at His birth, then you might as well include everything else from the Old Covenant, the keeping of sacrifices and shedding blood and burning incense and all of those other things. But this passage, and it's a very common passage, but it really doesn't tell us what we're looking at. What does the Bible teach us about worshiping Jesus at Christmas time? Well, let's go and look at another account in the record, a couple more passages. Let's turn to John chapter 1, And we'll see if John, when he talks about Jesus coming into this world, tells us anything about how we are to worship him. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, here we have another great passage about Jesus coming into the world, but John doesn't give us any indication how we are to worship Jesus at this time of the year. John doesn't help us with that. Maybe Paul will. Maybe Paul will tell us something. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and see if Paul can help us out with this. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, Paul here talks about Jesus leaving heaven, coming to the earth, and he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue is going to confess Jesus. But I don't think Paul really helps us at this time of the year telling us how we are to worship Jesus. But consider Jesus, consider him. Who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? As Jim read in Matthew 1:21, the name Jesus, it means he will save us. He's our Savior. The Hebrew word for Jesus is Joshua. Joshua, Savior. Jesus, Savior. Emmanuel in Matthew 1:21. That means God with us. Christ, the Anointed One. Lord, that expresses all grades of dignity, honor, and majesty. Messiah means Anointed One. And who in the Old Testament were the Anointed Ones? The prophets, the priests, and the kings. And Jesus. Jesus is all three of those. Prophet, priest, and king. And as great as he is, there must be something in the scripture about worshiping him. After all, I mean, so many people are doing that this time of the year. There's got to be something we can find in there. And friend, when we consider Jesus, we got to understand, Jesus is our owner. He paid a price to redeem us, and he sacrificed himself to make us his own. And he has a right to set our steps, to direct them, to determine our purpose, and tell us what he wants us to do. He's our master and owner. His position in our lives makes it clear the responsibility that we have to him. If he is the master, what are we to do? We are to obey him. And obedience is one of those tools that he uses for transformation. When we are told, do not be conformed, but transformed, how do we do that? It's through obeying God's word so that God will shape us into the image of Christ. And we must live God higher than anything else in this life that we desire. We must exalt him, acknowledge his authority, let him reign on the throne of our hearts. But how do we do that at this time? And we talk about God and His holiness. And because of God's holiness, He wants His people to be holy. And if we are to be holy, we are to be separate and set apart and live pure lives following after Christ. Friends, we deserve death. We have earned darkness and separation, but Christ came and He was born into this world to save us. So what does the Bible say about worshiping Jesus at Christmas time? Well, have you ever wanted to search something, whatever the topic is, and you get one of these little messages on your computer that says 404, the page you were looking for was not found? Here we've got this picture of this man looking under a sofa. He's looking for something and he can't find it. That's what you're going to get when you go to the Bible to see how we are to worship Jesus at Christmas time. Nothing. You aren't going to find it in there. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us to celebrate his death, not his birth. We can turn to 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 34. We can find there how we are to do that, when we are to do that, why we are to do that. He spells everything out. Where is the passage that we can turn to find out how we are to worship Jesus when He was born? If He wanted us to worship Him when He was born, He would have told us. He didn't tell us. What does He want us to do? He wants us to remember and celebrate His death. And you stop and think about that. The fruit of the vine and the bread. How plain and simple that is. How plain and simple. And again, I believe God told us what to do in the church so that anybody, anytime, anytime in history, any culture is able to carry out those commands. You see some of the efforts that people go about to worship Christ today. Would other times or countries or cultures be able to do that? Not like some of the things we'll look at today. But why is it so important to do what God says to do? Well, several weeks ago when we were studying Malachi and looking at the minor prophets, this is a key verse to remember, Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, we honor the Father by following His word. When we deviate from His word, we are not honoring Him. We must honor Him. And you think about a lot of scenes that you see around town. You see them a lot of places. This manger scene is very familiar. And a lot of people like baby Jesus as their Savior. They want Him to be the Savior, but they don't want this baby Jesus to be their Lord. And Jesus is Lord of everything. He's Lord of nature. All he had to do was speak, and the world came into existence. The storm that rose up, all he had to do was speak, and the storm ceased. Why is that? Because Jesus is Lord, and He's Lord of everything. People want Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want Him as their Lord. Well, does the Bible teach anything about that? We can find some passages on that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:20, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The later end is worse for them than the beginning. Peter goes on in 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So why do I have these passages that mention Lord and Savior? It's because of what I said 2 minutes ago. A lot of people want him as their Savior, but not the Lord. Now, there is a principle that's repeated throughout the Bible, and I'm using Mark chapter 10 and verse 9 for that principle. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And that is talking about marriage, but that principle applies to so many things. Whatever God has joined together, we cannot separate. 2 Peter 1:11, Lord and Savior. We can't just say, I take Jesus as my Savior, but not my Lord. 2 Peter 2:20, Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3:2, 2 Peter 3:18. God has joined those two positions together, Lord and Savior. We can't pick one and eliminate the other. If we are going to worship God, and if Jesus is going to be our Savior, he's also going to be our Lord. John tells us in chapter 4 and verse 24, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here's two other things God has joined together. Our worship must be in spirit and in truth. Well, how do we know what the truth is? John 17, 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. If we want to know how to worship God, we go to his word. It is truth. And we must worship in spirit and truth. And friends, Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? That's what we need to ask our denominational friends. Why do you call Jesus Lord and don't follow and do what he says? There's a saying, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Jesus wants that preeminent place. He wants to be Lord of everything in our lives. And if he is not Lord of everything, then he is not Lord at all. Well, what does the Bible teach us? How do we worship Jesus at Christmas time? I've got some slides of some things around here in town of what people are doing, but we just can't find in God's word for us to do that. This is a place coming in on the east side of town. They have their building decorated really nice, garlands around through there, lights on it, makes it look real Christmassy and festive. And people, you gotta like that, don't you? No, not if it goes against God's word. Looking a little closer, you know, they've got their piano player, a keyboard player, set of drums, a person with a guitar. They've got their Christmas lights up, the garland and candles around. And when I said at the beginning of the service, sometimes some people, the only times they come to a church is Christmas and Easter. And unfortunately now, a lot of people are just going to stay home and watch something like this on their phone or their laptop or something. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Why don't you just worship by doing what I say and remembering my death, not my birth. Here's, maybe we should dress up like shepherds. Maybe we should dress up shepherds. Doesn't the Bible teach about dressing up like shepherds? That page is not found. It's not in there. It's not in there. And these are how people, right, our friends and neighbors right here in town are worshiping Jesus at this time of the year. Maybe we could have one of the women come up like this lady and say some words and lead us in prayer. Can we do that? No. The Bible says we can't do that. How do you know what you can and you can't do? You got to go back to the Word, back to the Bible. Sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. In a lot of places, again, they offer all of these worship services where you don't even have to leave the comfort of your home. And then too, like this one says, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can donate by going to a PayPal, clicking on support a charity. This is something that is spreading and more places are doing this. Again, it goes against coming together on the first day of the week and giving as we have prospered. But even when I read this, the thought that goes through my mind, they're appealing to people that want a tax deduction instead of contributing to the work of the Lord. But this, the slides I showed you before this, is not the work of the Lord. It's not the work of the Lord. Well, this is a place not too far from that one. I just got a couple of their slides. They have this tree that they have there. Visit the tree, select a tag, shop for the gift, wrap and return. Thank you. They had a whole lot of things listed. This is how they worship Jesus at this time of the year. Can we read about that in God's Word? That page is not found. That page is not found. What if somebody's hungry? There's a lot of hungry people this time of the year. Shouldn't we feed them? And this slide, it says they're open Wednesdays, 6 to 7, full service drive through. Don't even have to get out of your car. Just drive through and you can get what you need. And again, people, they have so many ideas because they do not read the Bible. Shouldn't people be fed? Shouldn't families be fed? Yes, but that's not a work of the church. That is not a work of the church. You have the family, God's first institution. You have government, the second institution. And you have the church, the third and greatest institution. Families are to take care of this need. It's not the work of the church to feed people. The two passages that come to mind is in Corinthians when Paul told them when they were eating in the assembly, he says, you aren't supposed to do that. You do that at home. You've got homes to eat in. Don't confuse what you do at home with what you do in the assembly. The other thing, when Jesus fed multitudes of people, and then they came back again, and he said, no, I'm not going to feed you. You're just coming so I can fill your belly. You don't want your heart filled. You don't want your soul filled with the truth. They were coming for the wrong reasons. But this is how some people worship Jesus at this time of the year. Now, this is from our neighbor. When you go out the back driveway and turn to the right, and they're right down the road, they are posting something, at least getting people to think about Jesus. What book in the Old Testament is Jesus' birth foretold? Maybe they're trying to get people to open the Bible. That's good. But what it talks about is birth being foretold, and what Jesus tells us to do today, those are two completely separate things. So when I went to watch one of their services, you know, again, one of the first things you notice is the Christmas tree. The Christmas trees and the poinsettias and the candles and some woman up at the front speaking. And after she got through speaking, and this next slide they had on their overhead screen, prayer chorus, and they were singing Happy Birthday. These three women were singing Happy Birthday in the assembly to somebody in the audience. Then as they call him, their pastor got up to make a speech. And you stop and you think about these slides that I showed you. And I know people, we have family that go to events like this. We have friends that go to events like this. And they look forward to going to them. They get excited, or singing in their Christmas show. They get really excited about that. And you think about it, the other aspect of it with children. Children get really excited this time of the year because they're expecting to receive something. Friends, do we get as excited thinking about coming to worship our Lord and Savior that died for us? Do we get as excited thinking about that and thinking that we can do that for all eternity? Do we get as excited about that as one of these little children, like in this slide, waiting for Christmas, or like some of our denominational friends that get excited about all their programs? Friends, that's nothing compared to what we have when we follow God's word and do what he says. That's nothing. If I am the Father, where's my honor? God wants us to honor him by following his word. What does the Bible say about worshiping Jesus at this time? Nothing. That page is not found. You can look all through the New Testament, and if you want to pick out any verses, you need to pick them out after the establishment of the church. After the establishment of the church. Because that's when the new law went into effect. If you find anything before that, then you're bound to keep all of the regulations of the old law. Doesn't Jesus tell us to celebrate his birth? No, the Bible teaches us, it tells us to celebrate his death. His death. That's where we get our hope. The resurrection. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the message that we share. We celebrate his death, not his birth. Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior in life? Or do you just want him for your Lord? You can't have one without the other. If we accept him as our Savior and want him to be our Savior, we have to submit to him and let him be our Lord. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to do that, if there's anybody that wants to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.